So in terms of what needs to be preserved, conserved in Champagne or around Champagne, that'd be different from what so you described as lost or had was being lost in bigger urban areas. Because they were like building interstate and stadiums and all sorts of things, as opposed to in Champagne.
Yeah, in Champaign and Urbana, for those who don't know, Champaign and Urbana are what you'd call twin cities. And actually, it's almost like triplets because there's the University of Illinois, which has what we affectionately call Campus Town, which sits right in between Champaign and right in between Urbana, kind of straddles both of them, and acts in many ways as a city unto itself. So anyway, there is less urban area, the downtown area in either or any of these three places could be counted in blocks. It's like two or three blocks this way, two blocks that way. So there isn't this wholesale destruction of businesses and tenement apartments and things like that that were going on in larger urban areas. In Champaign-Urbana and Campus Town, the big loss is what was once single-family housing that is becomes turned into apartments and then ultimately flattened and turned into giant apartments. In the downtown areas, it's former businesses that are torn down and turned into parking lots for other businesses that are maybe doing better at the moment and decide that they need more parking. So those are the two main issues, aside from, schools and hospitals and places like that are always kind of growing. They just sort of grow outwards. And the places that are nearby suffer the most from that kind of growth, and they end up being swallowed up by this sort of ever-expanding situation that goes on with those kinds of places. But yeah, so it's similar in the extent that it is mostly older building stock that was being torn down for, in many instances, no good reason or to make somebody some money at the moment. In Champaign-Urbana, for example, a few years back, there was a building boom of sorts, and it consisted of people building huge apartment buildings. Now, there wasn't that much of a need for huge apartment buildings, so what was actually happening was somebody would invest the money, tear down some buildings, build some big building. All the new tenants would go there because it was the newest, shiniest place. The place would fill up. They would sell that property, move on with their cash in hand, and then over time, somebody else would do the same thing somewhere else. A lot of those tenants would migrate to the next new place that had more Wi-Fi and a bigger swimming pool, and they would just kind of steal each other's tenants and go around. And after they'd been around for a year, two, 3 years, they would be only partially full. And yet they would keep tearing things down and building it up. So this was something that was going on fairly recently that we were, doing our best to fight against. That was an example, as I said, of people destroying things and building things for no good reason except to make a few extra dollars for themselves, not because anything was needed or even wanted along those lines.
I see. And when you try to advocate for preservation, conservation of older buildings, what do you try to it's probably not a good way to say it, but what do you try to advocate for? What's your argument going to be?
Well, that's an interesting question because it ends up having sort of two answers. One answer would be based on the fact that when these things turn into conflicts or into a controversy of some sort, where we're saying, no, don't tear this down, and somebody else is saying, I intend to tear this down, it almost always centers on one or two structures. You know, it's rarely ever whole blocks, city blocks full of houses, or, you know, anything like that. It's smaller. So the arguments tend to be on the merits of that one or those couple of houses, rather than what the real answer is, which is a bit harder to articulate, and therefore it rarely comes up, but this is the actual real answer, is that preservation is about preserving character or personality. So, yes, we care about individual structures that have particular architectural merit, something unique about it, something important, or it has some historic relation to someone who was famous that lived there, or someone very important in the history of the community, or something like that. So, yeah, those are the things we end up being forced to argue about, because the bigger picture is usually ignored. It's like if you go in and start talking about the big picture, the response is, we're not talking about the whole city. We're talking about just this one house right here. That's all we're talking about, this one house. And so the nature of the individual struggle tends to restrict the conversation to be about what makes this place, this one place here, so important that you're going to stop progress in order to save it. When in fact it should be, what is it about this place and how does it fit into the character of the neighborhood, and what are you losing character-wise, personality-wise, to this area by losing this one place? How many pieces of the puzzle can you take out before you don't have a picture anymore? So one of the things I like to do when people ask me about it is compare it to cosmetic surgery, because good cosmetic surgery simply preserves the character of your face, let's say, so that you keep looking like you over time. You just look good. And you're getting older, but you still look good. Because, let's face it, aging tends to do unkind things to your face. And so what you're doing with good cosmetic surgery is preserving the aspects of your face that give you your character, so that somebody would say, I remember you from high school. You haven't changed. That's good cosmetic surgery. That's preservation. That's preserving your face. Bad cosmetic surgery tries to change your face. And that's what these things do in these projects where we're just going to put an apartment right here. We're just going to put a parking lot right there. Those are like trying to alter the character of your face and improve it in some way. And as we've all seen people, particularly movie stars, who've had bad cosmetic surgery, and they don't look like themselves anymore. They look like a strange, like maybe at first glance sort of young, and then after a little while, it's like, no, that's just strangely. You just don't look like you anymore. And I don't know what you look like, because you don't look natural anymore. And that's what preservation is fighting against, are these changes that take away the character of something to the point where it isn't itself anymore. It's become something else. And so that's what preservation is generally, and that's what we're fighting for. But how we are forced to articulate it seldom gets into that nice general, this is what the big picture is. And it's almost always focused on small, nitpicky details that are kind of beside the point in a way. But they become the point because that is the focus of this hearing or that court case or this city hall meeting or whatever.
I see. Yeah, no, that's interesting, because I guess as an outside person, what we also hear or on the news, in the media and stuff like that, when it comes to historic preservation, is the usually the merit of one building, mm-hmm. historic architectural merit of one building, and not really yeah. about bigger picture either. So yeah, this is interesting and something new to me as an outside person.
はい。で、この話は、ザ・パカっていうのが、こう、時代の背景を受けて、いろんな再開発とか何でも破壊してしまうものに反対はするけど、何から何まで変化を反対するわけではなくて、さて、このシャンペーンのパカは何を求めているのかっていうことを、リュウタさんもこう、ね、何を提唱しているんですかとか突っ込みながら話を展開していますので、まとめるとどういう話でしたか、リュウタさん。
そうですね、最初はシャンペーンアバナのパカとその都市部のパカで、やることは何か守ろうとしているものは何かが違う部分があるのかっていうような話から始まってるんですが、で、まあ、都市部の方は特にアーバンリニューアルみたいなことを言うので、都市の再開発ですよね。とか、あと、同じ時期には高速道路を建てるとかそういったものもあったので、まあ、なんとなくどういうものが守られる必要があって、どういうものが消えゆくものなのかっていうのは分かる、イメージできる感じしますけど、シャンペーンだとどうなのかっていうことで、まあ、基本的には、トムさんが言うにはそんなに変わらない、ただ、まあ、シャンペーンアバナはシャンペーンっていう街とアバナっていう街とさらにキャンパスタウン、イリノイ大学のキャンパスを中心にしたキャンパスタウンっていうものがあって、まあ、それなりの特性があって、特にその新しいアパートを建てて そこに人をなんていうか借りる人を誘導したい、一番新しいところに入ってくれがちだから、とにかくそのちょっとでも借りてる人、住む人を増やすために新しいアパートを建てたくて、どんどん古い建物を潰して新しい建物を建てて、でも数年経ったらもう飽きられちゃうから次の新しいアパートを建ててみたいな感じで古い建物がなくなっていきがちだっていう、まあ話が最初のところでした。で、まあ実際にその古い建物を守るっていう話になると、でその取り壊しの対象になるのは一軒の建物だったりするので、実際にその話し合いの場で議論になるのは結構一軒ずつの建物の話、この建物が何で大事なのかっていう話になりがちなんだけれども、ただパカとしては本当はその、もっと大きい全体像を見て活動してるし、全体像の話をしたい、でもなかなかそういう機会はないんだけどっていうのが後の方の話でしたね。で、まあその全体像っていうのはその建物がなくなると、その町の、キャラクターとかパーソナリティってトムさん言ってますけれども、まあその性格、人格みたいなものがなくなっちゃう、そういったことを防ごうとしている、それが、うん、より大きな、より大きな全体像、活動の全体像であるっていう話でした。
うん、難しいところですね。なんか日本語で訳してしまうと、なんか歴史的建造物を保存するっていうふうに受け取るけれども、それも本当大事なことなんだけど、なんで保存しなければならないのか、なんでそれがなくなったら困るのかっていうのを考えたときに、もうちょっと街全体とか、その建物が街にとって何だったのかとか、そこの背景も考えていかないんじゃない、いけないんじゃないかっていう、そういうことも含めた、パカの活動なんだっていうお話だったと思うんですが、ここ難しいですね。ちょっとこのパーソナリティっていうのが、私その時に聞いてる時に分かるような分からなかったので、次にもうちょっと突っ込んでとか、もう一回説明してっていう感じで、次のパートのところでトムさんにもう一度聞き直しています。でそれからパカのプリザーベーションとコンサーベーションというのが どういうことなのかということを、こういろいろ聞いて、で実際にそのためにどんなふうな活動をするのっていう展開をしていくのかということを聞いています。まず聞いてもらって、それからまたリュウタさんにちょっと あの日本語で分かりやすく補足説明してもらおうかなと思います。それでは次のパートどうぞ。